Elden Ring, the board game, which core set to buy first 2026. Dax here. Let us skip the brochure language and find out what actually works. Buy Realm of the Grafted King first. It is the flagship, the biggest box, and the only starting point that makes the other two make sense. Steamforged Elden Ring, the board game, ships as three standalone but combinable cooperative core sets. All three play 1-4 and support true solo. If you have never opened one, start with Grafted King. If you already own it and want more lands between, Stormville is the better second box because Godrick is the payoff fight. Everything else is expansions, and expansions are not where you start. The verdict: there is exactly one correct first purchase, and it is Realm of the Grafted King. It is the only set built as a front door, the biggest campaign, the widest roster, the tutorial curve, and the region Limgrave every Elden Ring player already has muscle memory for. The other two boxes are excellent, but they are second boxes wearing standalone clothing. The flaw: Steamforged marketed all three as standalone, which is technically true and practically misleading. Standalone means the box contains a complete game. It does not mean any box is an equally good place to begin. Buy Weeping Peninsula first because it is cheaper and you get a smaller campaign that assumes you already understand the combat's rhythm before it starts turning the screws. The word standalone is doing heavy lifting, and it will separate a beginner from $90 they should have spent on the flagship. And yet, the three-box structure is genuinely smart once you see the logic. This is a cooperative, diceless, card-driven Souls-like where your hand of cards is asterisk your stamina, and every enemy runs an AI pattern you have to read like a boss's tell. The battle stance system, aggressive, neutral, defensive, turns positioning into a mind game instead of a dice roll. And it is one of the rare cooperative campaign games that is balanced as carefully for one player as for four, which matters more than any marketing bullet. I played it like something I actually had to review: solo first, then two player, then I made three people read a choose your own adventure book aloud until someone begged for a rules summary. What follows is not a hype reel. It is the shortest, honest route from which box to the right box for the specific person asking. With a compounding piece of context you should know, the A24 Elden Ring film Alex Garland, March 2028, is going to send a wave of new people toward this shelf, and hype is not a buying strategy. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. Which Elden Ring board game core set should I buy first? Realm of the Grafted King. If you read nothing else, read that sentence and add it to your cart. Here is the reasoning, because trust me is how people end up owning the wrong box. Everyone supports solo. And everyone connects to the others so you can push the quest books together into one larger campaign. So far, so friendly. The trap is the word standalone. It is true that any box is playable on its own. It is not true that any box is an equally good asterisk first asterisk box. Grafted King is the flagship for concrete reasons. It carries the 50-plus hour campaign, the other two are 20-plus hours each. It has the most miniatures, 54, of which 50 are enemies. It ships the four default tarnished archetypes, Vagabond, Samurai, Astrologer, and Prophet, that map cleanly onto how new players think about Elden Ring classes, and it covers Limgrave, the region every video game player learned the game in. Margit the Fell Omen is your headline wall. It is the tutorial that respects you enough to hurt. The smaller boxes assume competence the flagship teaches. Weeping Peninsula and Stormville each add two exclusive tarnished classes in their own boss, but they are pitched as more lands between for someone who already owns the combat engine, not as a gentle on-ramp. Starting there is like starting Elden Ring in Caelid. Possible, educational, not recommended. So, new to it, buy Grafted King. Already own Grafted King and want the natural next region, buy Stormville Castle. Godrick is the boss the flagship's whole first arc is pointing at. Weeping Peninsula is the third box, not the first, a great expansion of the world, a poor place to learn it. The word doing the damage marketing calls all three sets standalone, and beginners read that as start anywhere. Start anywhere and you may start harder, smaller, and more expensive per hour than you needed to. Grafted King is the front door, the other two are rooms. Dax one-line filter: if you cannot already picture the difference between an aggressive and a defensive stance in a card game, you want the box with the longest tutorial. That is Grafted King, every time. How do the three core sets connect, and what is the play order? This is the question the product pages answer badly, so let me draw it straight. The three sets are modular cooperative campaigns set in adjacent regions of Limgrave, and they connect two different ways depending on what you want. Way 1, play them separately. Each box is its own campaign with its own scenario book, its own bosses, and its own tarnished. You can finish Grafted King, shelve it, and later run Stormville as a completely separate 20-plus hour experience. Nothing forces continuity. Way 2, combine them into one grander campaign. The sets are designed so you can literally push the quest books together and create a shared arena for the climactic boss fights, folding multiple regions into a single longer arc. Your leveled up tarnished, your unlocked gear, and your progression carry across. This is where the three-box structure stops looking like a money grab and starts looking like a deliberately scalable campaign engine. The recommended play order tracks the video game's geography and difficulty curve: Realm of the Grafted King, Limgrave, then Weeping Peninsula, the melancholy land south of Limgrave, then Stormville Castle, Godrick's Fortress, the region-capping dungeon. That order gives you the gentlest teaching first, a mid-difficulty detour second, and the fortress payoff last, exactly how a first Elden Ring run tends to flow. If you are buying to combine, buy Grafted King now and add the other two later. There is no penalty for staggering purchases because progression is designed to slot in. One caution worth its own sentence: combining sets does not merge the rulebooks into something simpler. It merges content. You are adding scenarios, enemies, and bosses to a system you already know, not learning a new system. That is exactly why you want the flagship's rules in your hands before you glue three campaigns together. Start with Realm of the Grafted King Limgrave. Learn the combat and stance system across its 50-plus-hour campaign. Add Weeping Peninsula south of Limgrave as a 20-plus-hour detour with the hero and bandit Tarnished. Finish with Stormvale Castle. Godric the Grafted on a 120 base is the region's capstone fight. To combine, push the questbooks together for a single grander campaign. Leveled Tarnished and gear carry across. Standalone and Combinable are both true Steamforged, built each box to work alone and to slot into a larger campaign. That is unusual and genuinely useful. It means you never need to buy all three at once, and you never waste a box you bought first. Is Elden Ring, the board game, any good, and does it feel like the video game? Mostly yes, with an asterisk I am contractually obligated to my own conscience to hand you. What it nails. The combat is the real thing translated, not the logo slapped on a generic dungeon crawler. It is diceless and card-driven. Your hand of cards is your stamina pool, and every enemy runs a legible eye attack pattern you learn to read like a boss's wind-up animation. Standout mechanism is the tension of when to dump multiple attack cards for big damage versus holding them in hand as defense. Spend everything on offense and you are wide open. Exactly like emptying your stamina bar mid-combo in the video game. Layer the battle stance system on top. Aggressive draws more but can help the enemy, neutral manipulates turn order, defensive recovers stamina, and positioning becomes a mind game rather than a dice roll. Reviewers repeatedly land on the same word, souls-like, technical, tactical, a little bit random. It earns the license where the asterisk lives. Two honest complaints show up across reviews. First, the boss encounter grid is built from four ring-bound books arranged in a square, which leaves awkward gaps and demands page-flipping mid-fight, functional, inelegant, a little fiddly. Second, and more philosophical, the game feels like asterisk completing scenarios inside the Elden Ring universe more than exploring the lands between asterisk. The open-world magic, the pull of a distant glowing tree, the reward of wandering off the path is the hardest thing From Software built and the hardest thing to put in a box. The tile-drawing exploration does a respectable job of keeping every map different. But it is a structured campaign, not a sandbox. If you are buying it to feel lost in Limgrave asterisk, temper that, the comparison you are actually making. Yes, this is from the same studio Steamforged as Dark Souls, the board game, and yes, that game had a rocky launch that needed rules patches. Elden Ring is the better product, bigger and better miniatures. The designers call them some of their best work, a more considered campaign structure and a combat engine that iterated on the Dark Souls deck rather than reprinting it. It is not a reskin. It is the studio Souls board game done properly the second time. So is it good? Yes, for the right person. It is a heavy, reading-forward, tactically rich cooperative campaign that rewards patience and punishes autopilot. The video game did the same. The translation is faithful, warts and page flips included. The exploration expectation trap, if you want to feel like you're wandering an open world, no board game, this one included, fully delivers that. The tile system keeps maps varied, but it is a campaign of scenarios, not a sandbox. Buy it for the combat mind game, not for the feeling of getting lost. The reviewer consensus, compressed across launch reviews, the pattern is consistent. Combat and minis are praised, the boss book grid and the paperwork load are the recurring gripes, and it lands as the studio's best From Software adaptation to date. Just as punishing as the real thing is the recurring tagline, and it is meant as a compliment. What is in each box, bosses, miniatures, and tarnished classes? Here is the contents breakdown that actually matters when you are choosing, stripped of marketing adjectives. Campaign 50 plus hours across 30 replayable scenarios, each also playable as a 45 to 90 minute one shot. Headline boss Margit the Fell Omen. Miniatures 54 total, 50 enemies and 4 heroes. Tarnished, Vagabond, Samurai, Astrologer, Prophet. Also in the box, 4 encounter books, 1 scenario book, 4 dashboard books, 61 hex tiles, 185 tokens, and a genuinely enormous 1,227 cards plus the rulebook. Campaign 20 plus hours. Headline boss The Leonine Misbegot. Tarnished exclusive to this set, hero and bandit. Miniatures, 20 total, 16 enemies and 4 heroes. Contents, 45 hex tiles, 177 tokens, 754 cards, 4 encounter books, 1 scenario book, 4 dashboard books, rulebook. Cheapest ticket in, smallest campaign, best as a second or third box. Campaign, 20 plus hours. Headline boss, Godric the Grafted on a chunky 120 base, the single most impressive mini in the line and the fight the whole Limgrave arc points toward. Tarnished exclusive to this set, confessor and prisoner. Miniatures, 22 total, 18 enemies and 4 heroes. Contents, 44 hex tiles, 166 tokens, 842 cards, 4 encounter books, 1 scenario book, 4 dashboard books, rulebook. This is the best asterisk second box precisely because Godrick is the boss with the most weight behind him. One pattern to notice, every box gives you 4 playable heroes. The flagship's 4 are the archetypal starting classes, the smaller boxes each add 2 set exclusive tarnished, plus 2 more heroes. So collecting all 3 is also how you unlock the full roster of classes, another reason the modular structure rewards patience rather than a single panic buy. Collect for the roster, not the FOMO. Each box adds distinct tarnished classes: Grafted King's 4 archetypes, Weeping Peninsula's hero and bandit, Stormvale's confessor and prisoner. If you love build variety, the 3-box set is a class roster play, but there is zero mechanical penalty for buying them one at a time. How many players and is the solo mode actually good? All 3 core sets play 1 to 4 players cooperatively, and the solo mode is not an afterthought. It is a headline feature, and it is the mode I would point most buyers toward first. Here is why the solo claim holds up better than usual. This is a fully cooperative game with no traitor mechanic and no hidden competition, which means there is no structural difference between 1 brain running 4 tarnished and 4 brains running 1 each. The AI-driven enemy patterns do the opposing work. The players are always on the same side of the table. Reviewers consistently note the game is balanced as carefully for solo as for a full group, which, if you have ever tried to schedule 4 adults for a 50-hour campaign, is the single most valuable design decision in the box. The multiplayer wrinkle worth knowing: players can drop into each other's combats to help, mirroring the video game's summon a friend cooperative. If one tarnished is getting mauled, another can join that fight. It is a lovely touch, and it makes 3 to 4 player games feel like the real thing. The honest downside at higher counts is the reading. Story and choices are delivered choose your own adventure style. Solo, that is intimate and atmospheric, you are reading to yourself, setting your own pace. At 3 or 4 players, someone becomes the designated narrator, reading passages aloud, and long sessions can turn into a lot of out loud page turning. It works. It also tests the group's patience on hour 6. My recommendation on count: if you are mostly a solo or 2-player household, this game is close to ideal and you should buy with confidence. If you are buying specifically for a rowdy 4-player game night, know that it is a slower, more contemplative, more reading-heavy experience than a beer and pretzels dungeon crawler, closer to a shared novel with excellent tactics than a fast romp. Best case, buyer solo and 2-player players get the most from this game with the least friction. The campaign is long, the balance holds at 1 player, and there is no scheduling tax on a 50-hour cooperative you can pause and resume alone. Should I wait, buy now, or worry about the A24 Elden Ring film hype? The film context is real. A24 is making a live-action Elden Ring movie written and directed by Alex Garland, shot for IMAX, with a cast including Kit Connor, Kaylee Spiney, and Ben Whishaw, and George R.R. Martin among the producers. It is dated for March 3, 2028. That is a genuine cultural accelerant. A video game IP with a prestige film halo is a rare double heat. And it will absolutely drive new people toward anything with the Elden Ring name, this board game included. Here is why that should not change your purchase timing. The board game is out now, complete and not waiting on the movie for anything. A 2028 film does not add content to a 2026 box. What film hype can asterisk do is dumber and more expensive. It can inflate secondary market prices, spike demand around release, and tempt people into panic buying all 3 sets at once because a trailer made them feel something. Do not let a movie 2 years out set your board game budget. The actual buying logic is unchanged by Hollywood. If you want the game is good and available today. Buy Grafted King and start. If you are only interested because a movie is coming, you do not want a 50-hour tactical cooperative campaign. You want the movie and you should wait for the movie. Those are different products serving different itches, and conflating them is how a box sits shrink-wrapped on a shelf for 2 years. Dax timing verdict: buy now if you want to play. The film is a reason the world will care about Elden Ring in 2028. It is not a reason this specific box will be better or worse than it is this afternoon. Hype is weather, your shelf is climate, buy for the climate. The panic buy tell if your reason for buying all 3 boxes today is the movie's coming and I want to be ready. That is the film talking, not the game. The 2028 A24 film adds nothing to the 2026 box. Buy Grafted King, play it, and decide on the others from experience, not from a trailer. What about the expansions? Do I need Aghil, Erdtree Avatar, or Limgrave Depths? Number not to start and not for a long time. But it is worth knowing the shape of the range so you do not accidentally buy an expansion thinking it is a core set. A genuinely easy mistake given how the store lists them together. The expansions currently orbit the flagship realm of the Grafted King, and they are strictly additive. Flying Dragon Aghil, the big set piece dragon fight, Erdtree Avatar, and Limgrave Depths, an SFG exclusive dungeon add-on. These are content boosters for people who already finished or fell in love with the base campaign and want more encounters and more marquee bosses. They assume you own Grafted King. They are not standalone and they are not first purchases. Separately, there are cosmetic and quality of life upgrades that work across all three core sets, the Spirit Ashes and the Dual Layer Player Board. The Dual Layer Board in particular is the kind of upgrade that sounds trivial and turns out to matter, because the base dashboards are one of the few components reviewers flag as flimsier than they should be. If you play a lot and the flat cardstock dashboards annoy you, that upgrade is the one to eyeball. It is a nice to have, not a need to have. The rule to internalize core sets first and only one core set to begin. Expansions are the reward for loving the base game, not the on-ramp to it. If you're standing in a store or scrolling a cart and you see Aghyl or Limgrave Depths before you own Grafted King, you are looking at dessert before you have ordered dinner. Put it back, buy the flagship. Come back for the dragon when Margit stops scaring you. Don't mistake an expansion for a core set. Aghyl, Erdtree Avatar, and Limgrave Depths require Realm of the Grafted King. Spirit Ashes and the Dual Layer Player Board are cosmetic upgrades for all three cores. None of these is a starting point. Confirm core set before you buy anything Elden Ring branded. The bottom line, who each box is actually for, let me sort the humans because it depends, is a cop-out and you came here for an answer. Buy Realm of the Grafted King if you are new to the board game, you want the longest campaign, you want the archetypal starting classes, or you simply want the single best value first purchase. This is 90% of readers. It is the flagship, the tutorial, the deepest box, and the only correct front door. Full stop. Buy Stormveil Castle as your second box if you own and enjoy Grafted King and want the natural next step. Godrick the Grafted on his 120 base is the boss the whole Limgrave arc is building toward, and the Confessor and Prisoner add real class variety. It is the payoff purchase. Buy Weeping Peninsula if you want the cheapest entry point and you already understand the combat, or you're collecting all three and want the melancholy southern region to complete the map. It is the smallest campaign and the least essential of the three, a fine third box, a poor first one. Buy the expansions if you have finished a core campaign, you want more, and you specifically miss the big set piece fights. Aghyl, Erdtree Avatar, and Limgrave Depths are for people already in love. The Dual Layer Player Board is for people who play enough that the flat dashboard started to bug them. Do not buy anything yet if your entire interest is the 2028 A24 film. You want a movie ticket, not a 50-hour cooperative campaign. Wait and buy the game when you want to play rather than when a trailer made you feel a certain way. That is the whole map. One flagship, two follow-ups, a shelf of expansions, and one very clear starting point that the word standalone was quietly trying to talk you out of. Final verdict. Realm of the Grafted King is the answer to which first, and it is not close. Steamforged built a genuinely clever three-box system, standalone campaigns that also clicked together into one long march across Limgrave, the Weeping Peninsula, and Stormveil Castle. The combat is the real Souls-like thing translated to cards. Your hand is your stamina, the enemies run readable eye tells, and the battle stance mind game turns positioning into strategy instead of a dice roll. It is one of the best solo cooperative campaigns on the shelf, and it is comfortably the studio's finest From Software adaptation to date. But the marketing word standalone is quietly trying to sell a beginner the wrong box. Standalone means complete, it does not mean good place to begin. Only the flagship is the front door, the longest campaign, the widest roster, the region you already know, and the tutorial curve the smaller boxes skip. Yes. Is it a lot for a 50-plus hour, solo-friendly, endlessly replayable tactical campaign that is faithful to a game people put 200 hours into? Suddenly no, by Grafted King. Add Stormveil when Margit stops scaring you. Leave Weeping Peninsula and the expansions for when you already love it. And do not let a 2028 movie set a 2026 budget. Flattery is boring, and so is buying three boxes because a trailer made you feel something. If you are assembling a cooperative shelf, pair this with our best cooperative board games for 2026, or if you are weighing From Software tabletop options head-to-head, Red Dark Souls vs. Elden Ring, which Steamforged board game to buy, frequently asked questions. Which Elden Ring board game core set should I buy first? Realm of the Grafted King. It is the flagship, a 50-plus hour Limgrave campaign with 54 miniatures, the four archetypal tarnished classes, and Margit as the headline boss. It is the only set built as a beginner's front door. The other two are standalone, but assume you already understand the combat, making them better second or third boxes. How many core sets does Elden Ring, the board game, have? Each is a complete standalone cooperative game for 1 to 4 players, and all three can be combined into one larger campaign. Do the three Elden Ring board game core sets connect? Yes, each set plays standalone, but you can push the quest books together to build one grander campaign that carries your leveled up tarnished and gear across regions. The recommended combined play order is Realm of the Grafted King, then Weeping Peninsula, then Stormveil Castle. What is the recommended play order for the Elden Ring board game? Follow the video game's geography and difficulty curve. Realm of the Grafted King Limgrave first, then Weeping Peninsula south of Limgrave, then Stormveil Castle Godrick's Fortress as the capstone. If you buy to combine them, start with Grafted King and add the others later. Progression is designed to slot in. Is Elden Ring the board game cooperative or competitive? Fully cooperative. All players are on the same side against eye-driven enemies, with no traitor or competition mechanic. Players can even drop into each other's combats to help, mirroring the video game summon cooperative. How many players does Elden Ring the board game support? All three core sets play 1-4 players cooperatively and all three support true solo play. Solo is a headline feature, not an afterthought. The game is balanced as carefully for one player as for four. Is the solo mode in Elden Ring the board game good? Yes, because the game is fully cooperative with the Iron enemies. One player controlling the Tarnished plays essentially the same as a group, and reviewers consistently note it is balanced for solo. It is one of the strongest solo campaign experiences in this genre, ideal if scheduling a group for a 50-hour campaign is hard. Does the Elden Ring board game feel like the video game? Largely, yes. The diceless, card-driven combat where your hand is your stamina, the AI enemy attack patterns, and the aggressive neutral-defensive battle stance system all capture the Souls-like tactical feel. The main gap is exploration. It plays as a campaign of scenarios in the Elden Ring universe rather than a true open-world sandbox. Which boss is in each Elden Ring board game core set? Realm of the Grafted King is headlined by Margit, the Fell Omen. Weeping Peninsula culminates in the Leonine Misbegot, and Stormville Castle features Godric the Grafted on a 120 base, the largest and most impressive miniature in the line. How long is the Elden Ring board game campaign? Realm of the Grafted King offers a 50-plus-hour campaign across 30 replayable scenarios. Weeping Peninsula and Stormville Castle each offer 20-plus-hour campaigns. Individual scenarios can be played as one-shots of roughly 45 to 90 minutes, 120-plus minutes per session in Stormville. How is the Elden Ring board game combat different from Dark Souls? The board game, both are card-based Souls-likes from Steamforged, but Elden Ring's combat functions quite differently. It centers on a battle stance system and using your hand as a stamina pool, with an open-world tile-drawing exploration layer. Elden Ring also has bigger, better miniatures and a more considered campaign structure. The designers call its models some of their best work. Is Elden Ring, the board game, better than the Dark Souls board game? Generally regarded as yes. Dark Souls, the board game, had a rocky launch that needed rules patches. Elden Ring is the studio's more polished second attempt at a From Software adaptation, with superior miniatures, a stronger campaign framework, and an iterated combat engine rather than a reskin. What Tarnished classes come in each Elden Ring board game set? Realm of the Grafted King includes the Vagabond, Samurai, Astrologer, and Prophet. Weeping Peninsula adds the Hero and Bandit. Stormville Castle adds the Confessor and Prisoner. Collecting all three unlocks the full roster of playable classes. Do I need the expansions to play the Elden Ring board game? Number the expansions: Flying Dragon Aghil, Erdtree Avatar, and Limgrave Depths require Realm of the Grafted King and add extra encounters and set piece bosses. They are for players who already own and love the base campaign, not first purchases. What is the cheapest Elden Ring board game core set? However, cheapest does not mean best to start. The flagship Grafted King is still the recommended first purchase for new players. Is the Elden Ring board game hard? Yes, deliberately. Reviewers describe it as just as punishing as the real thing. The Karda stamina system, AI enemy patterns, and unforgiving bosses reward patience and punish autopilot, just like the video game. It is a heavy, tactically demanding cooperative, not a casual dungeon crawler. Should I wait for the A24 Elden Ring movie before buying the board game? No, not if you actually want to play. The A24 film, directed by Alex Garland, releasing March 3, 2028, is unrelated to the board game's content. A 2028 movie adds nothing to a 2026 box. If your only interest is the film, wait for the film. If you want the game, it is complete and available now. What age is the Elden Ring board game for? Steamforged lists the core sets for ages 14 and up, reflecting the rules complexity, reading load, and dark fantasy theme rather than the components themselves. Can I buy the Elden Ring board game core sets one at a time? Yes, and you should. Each box is standalone and combinable, so there is no penalty for staggering purchases. Start with Realm of the Grafted King, then add Stormville Castle or Weeping Peninsula later if you want a larger combined campaign and more Tarnished classes. What comes in the Realm of the Grafted King box? 54 miniatures, 50 enemy, 4 hero, 4 encounter books, 1 scenario book, 4 dashboard books, 61 hex tiles, 185 tokens, 1,227 cards, and a rulebook, supporting a 50-plus-hour campaign of 30 replayable scenarios set in Limgrave.